Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Pod Network Entertainment.
It gave Raw yung ano ulit, yung parang big event feel, diba? Big show feel. Kind of like how last week yung opening match was, I believe, yung DIY versus Creed Brothers. So
yeah.
Pinantayan nila this week with Ricochet versus JD McDonagh. You can call it revenge wrestling if you want, but we're the winners here. Kasi diba, there was a time when you could sit through a 3-hour Monday Night Raw and not really enjoy the matches. Now they're getting time and really good matches. So I'm thankful that we get to have outings like this on a weekly basis.
Going on, this is Xavier Woods, aka Austin Creed.
Let me talk to you.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte.
Adam! Hey everyone, this is Jeff Cobb.
I have to finish the story.
We are pretty deadly. Yes, boy.
Run!
Bang, the sniper is shooting you down. This is TMDK's Robbie Eagles.
Hey, this is the Cosmic Cactus, Paul London.
Hello, my name is Ilya Dragunov. The star, the NXT champion, and you're listening to.
The Wrestling Podcast.
Yeah.
Listening to the longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Wrestling Podcast. Stan C, Ro Moran, Chino Liao, and Emil Nate checking in on a Picks of the Week episode. And we are so close to WrestleMania 40. Nasa dulo na tayo na road to WrestleMania. And we're so hyped, so excited to be part of the festivities alongside you and our entire community here in Metro Manila. So if you want to be part of our WrestleMania 40 celebrations, we've got a viewing party happening this weekend, April 7, that's a Sunday, April 8, that's a Monday, both days of WrestleMania at Skinny Mike's BGC and at Hobby Stadium. Doors open as early as 6 a.m. kasi 7 a.m. magsisimula ang main show. And if you want to get your tickets and find out all the details, nandito lang sa tinyurl.com/WrestleMania40PH. Again, that's tinyurl.com/WrestleMania40PH. Ticket prices are there, 350 pesos for a one-day pass, 600 pesos for a two-day pass, and 450 pesos for the walk-ins on the day itself. All tickets will get you a free iced tea, and basta may ticket ka, you get a chance to win goodies from our friends, from Everybody's Toys and Collectibles, Hobby Danzy, and Hobby Stadium. So lahat yun mangyayari on Sunday and on Monday. Medyo paubos na yung tickets for Skinny Mike's, whereas Hobby Stadium, marami pang open seats. So if you want to be part of the viewing party, then we do recommend getting those tickets at Hobby Stadium. Pero may walk-in pa rin naman for both venues and both days. So again, get your tickets now at tinyurl.com/WrestleMania40PH. We will see you this Sunday and Monday for the biggest WrestleMania of all time. All right, let's get to our picks of the week. We're going to start with Monday Night Raw and this promo segment between three guys who do not love each other at all. Chino, let's talk about that Punk, Seth, and Drew promo.
Yeah, I loved it because, I've seen this segment 5 times now since it came out on Tuesday, Manila time. Just trying to break down the Easter eggs that all three guys dropped in the middle of the segment. And dami! Did CM Punk do more than one sex joke? Did Drew drop another bar that I missed? And daming nangyari dito sa segment ito. And it's good because it also means that they are trying to make Seth's championship as important as Roman's championship. It's never going to happen, but the fact that they pulled this out and they made us feel the bar, oh, wait lang, may isa pa tayong championship match ng night two that's just as important, is also very good to me because it is thoroughly entertaining. The way they played off each other, it's a good scene improvisation technique that they're able to bounce off one another, especially for Drew McIntyre, who really was the star of this whole thing. Kasi hindi siya known for his mic skills, but the fact that he was able to keep up with everybody as this thing was rolling on really just shows how much he's improved on the mic in this past run that he's had. This heel Drew McIntyre is such a revelation. Because when he said that you complete me, that motivation that he had for CM Punk, parang doon mo na makikita yung delusion na pumasok sa utak niya in trying to beat Seth Rollins and by extension, CM Punk na rin for the World Heavyweight Championship. Also, ang ganda din nung Barn and then the stand remix that he did, that last line, my God, kahit na curb stomp siya nung dulo nun, pinalakpakan ko pa rin siya because that's how good that segment was for me. And I can go on and on about how good everybody was in it. But I think I've said enough as to why I really love this part of Monday Night Raw.
I love this promo because you could see now all three guys were really having fun with this. Like, sobrang halata sa body language nila na they're having fun shooting the shit. And there were a lot of memes that were created from this promo. Yung tatawa ko talaga yung reaction ni Punk when Seth's music came on and he was acting like not this again, not this guy, you know. And it was a fun promo, and in a perfect world, if Punk didn't get hurt, this might have been a triple threat match at WrestleMania. Pero alam naman natin na kung hindi danger to see Punk, it's probably Punk versus Rollins. But the inclusion of Drew McIntyre, wow, that was something very very good on their part. Naisip nila to as a backup because their original plans didn't go because of the Punk injury. So maybe, you know, in a few months, when Punk recovers from his injury, we actually do get this triple threat program, probably at the Survivor Series or another big pay-per-view.
Okay, so yeah. It was entertaining, yes. I'll give him that. It was really, you know, in a way, now, okay, oh, zinger, 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 after zinger. And I'll agree with Chino that Drew really comes off strong here as being able to hold his own in a firefight with CM Punk, of all people. Seth is okay. But I'm going to be the dick here and be the dissenting opinion here and say now, it felt a little too much like open mic night, word to Brandy. And it really was open mic night because I saw a news bit that said that entire segment was fully improvised. And I say that because they spent too much time feeling their oats, right? And, you know, letting out zingers because it was the funny thing to do. And it got great reactions. That one, I can tell CM Punk was genuinely heated. If he wasn't wearing such a short leash, he would have started something new backstage after that. I know he was ready to start something new backstage after that. Kasi ang daming binitawan ni Drew na lines about him na were genuinely pretty funny. I am pro Drew in this segment, but there was too much improv, not enough structure. That they went around like 20 minutes of broadcast time. They took up around 15 to 20 minutes to the point that the matches that came after it had to be rushed. About the New Day versus DIY match had to be rushed. I believe Candice LeRae versus Ivy Nile had to be rushed. That went less than 2 minutes. And that doesn't happen in Triple H's Raw anymore. So ang dami nilang na-sacrifice because na masyadong sila nawili sa pagsasalita nila. And to be honest, it was pretty much the same thing as, you know, that awkward exchange that Edge and Ricky Starks had a few months back in Collision. Yeah. Right? And the only difference was that they were able to get their lines off a lot better than Edge and Ricky Starks. So I felt like it could have used, again, some more editing, like restraint at this point. Nah, guys, we only have so much TV time to go around here. Let's not try to get too much of our shit in. Like, yes, Drew had the best lines. Punk got his stuff in there. Seth got his stuff in there. At some point, somebody should have been in there and said, okay, we gotta go home now. Because at some point, you do run the risk of offending someone for real. Because none of this was clear beforehand. And I felt like that was the case. And they're just not telling us right now. So, yun lang naman ang issue ko. That's my valid criticism, despite how entertaining it all was. Now, yeah, I feel like they had to do this. Gino's right. They had to do this for the World Heavyweight Championship. But I felt like they were making up for, you know, this entire time where Seth and Cody were, you know, Seth was occupied with the bloodline, which, again, Drew is right. That's not his fight. But, you know, Seth makes some good points about it being his fight. But in the end, he also has this other thing to worry about, to think about. So, yeah. And so, Boba, we said that with this, objectively banger of a promo battle.
Just one thing here, nabanggit ni Chino kanina na Drew isn't exactly known for his mic skills. I think it's also because of the characters he's had for the last few years prior to the heel turn.
Oh, yeah,
like, I wouldn't necessarily say na hindi magaling si Drew on the mic, but it's just this new character has really rejuvenated him, diba?
The tall tale, sorry, real quick. The tall tale Drew from his babyface run during the pandemic, maganda yung mic skills nito.
Ah, yung nagkukwento siya.
Yeah, but the promos were super corny. Promos were super corny because it was Vince stuff, diba? So, okay naman yung delivery niya. It's just that, what the hell was he saying back then?
I think it's really this new character. I read yung mga rumors surrounding his contract status na syempre, nobody really knows for sure kung ano yung deal, diba? But, you know, he really increased his value talaga. I will agree with that na he's way more valuable now in this current iteration of the Drew McIntyre character with a heel turn and this new edge that he's bringing to the mic, to the ring, yung asta niya. I think yun talaga yung pinanagbago. And it just gets accentuated even more in a situation where he gets a live mic against Punk and Seth and then he gets to take a step back and just let them go at one another kasi alam niya na in character, they can go at each other all they want, but the real match is Seth versus Drew. And when Seth is not looking, Drew can hit him where it hurts and take the title home. So, given wrestling logic na Seth stood on top after this, the segment, I'm led to believe na Drew's probably gonna get his moment come WrestleMania 40.
Hopefully, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, come on.
I need that shit. I've been wanting that since, I know, last year. Payback, I think.
Uh-huh. Maybe if you pray for it, it'll happen.
Oh. he should pray for it.
Sticking with Raw here, Emil, let's talk about your pick of the week.
So my pick goes out to another match that happened on Raw. I believe this was the opening match after the Cody promo. It was JD McDonagh versus Ricochet. And I will say, God bless the Chicago crowd because they added so much energy into this match. I mean, both JD and Ricochet are talented on their own. And they could go out there and deliver. But something really clicked on Raw. Something clicked that night for both of them. It wasn't even that long, but they were able to do so much. I love that finish where Ricochet delivered a shooting star press to a standing JD McDonagh. And ito na yung sinasabi ko, WrestleMania season taking an effect na you can see all the talents trying to steal the show every night on TV, trying to prove themselves as to why they deserve to be on the card. Maybe not this year, but for the next Manias, you know. And I don't think both men are going to be on the Mania card this year, but man, their efforts in this match, it's applaudable. They really went all out for such a short TV match. So that's why this is my pick of the week.
Yeah, Ricochet was wrestling like Rent was due. And in a lot of ways, it was because he doesn't get a lot of TV time. So it's one of those things that, okay, the thing about the Triple H regime, the administration, is that there is, again, like AEW, there is an embarrassment of riches on the main roster. And there's only so much time for so many people, even if the show is 3 hours. So Ricochet doesn't always get that time, but when he does, like a lot of other people, he grabs the moment and makes the most of it, squeeze and hold it, because he considers these minutes golden. So it's great to see him. But again, not everyone can be on the show every week. And I'm not saying that dapat irrestrict that, but it's really one of those things that is the sad truth of the business, that not everyone gets to be booked. And I like that WWE does have the elite athletes, no pun intended, that can just go anytime they're called on. He doesn't need to warm up. This guy doesn't need to go through a hot streak to have a good match, but he's that good. And I hope that it's like the Chad Gable thing. Now, you give Chad Gable time and he's going to wrestle his ass off. Not necessarily meaning he's going to win a big one, a big championship, but the way he, you know, makes the most out of those minutes, he makes a really good case. And that's what Ricochet did.
Yeah, I agree. See, Ricochet kasi tama kayo, doesn't get a lot of TV time, but you can only put so much wrestling in 2.5 hours, but with all the vignettes and all the promos. Actual wrestling kind of takes a backseat certain nights. But this night on Raw, Ricochet was given the opportunity and he made his presence felt in the number of minutes that he was given. It allowed him to capitalize, show off, go off, as you guys like to say, in the limited number of minutes that he got against JD McDonagh. And JD McDonagh, in his own right, can actually go as well. He was a former cruiserweight champion. And I like his style as a cruiserweight kasi hindi din siya masyadong high-flying, even if he was trained by Finn Balor. So the fact that he was able to keep up with Ricochet, parang siyang cardio beasts. And I'm glad that this match really kicked off and wasn't cut down at all.
Yeah, really a lot of fun. It gave Raw yung parang big event feel, diba? Big show feel. Yep. Kind of like how last week yung opening match was, I believe, yung DIY versus Creed Brothers. So
yeah.
Pinantayan nila this week with Ricochet versus JD McDonagh. You can call it revenge wrestling if you want, but we're the winners here. Kasi, diba, there was a time when you could sit through a 3-hour Monday Night Raw and not really enjoy the matches. Now they're getting time and really good matches. So I'm thankful that we get to have outings like this on a weekly basis. And speaking of said outings, let's get to my pick, which is Sami Zayn versus Bronson Reed. So I originally slotted in yung promo exchange in Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch, which was really good. But I wanted to take some time and just talk about the Sami Zayn storyline. Kasi sobrang ganda ng ginawa nila with having Sami face Bronson Reed. And normally when you've got an underdog babyface who is facing an insurmountable task against a dominant heel champ, you want to have them build momentum, but they're really doubling down on this self-doubt storyline in Sami Zayn, where Gunther's going on an interview minutes before this match saying, what's there to be afraid of? Si Sami nga mismo hindi naniniwala na kaya niya, di ba? Why should I believe na threat siya if siya mismo feeling niya hindi niya ako kayang talunin? So that self-doubt creeps further into Sami's mind, especially since he's going up against someone like Bronson Reed, someone that big and humongous, di ba? And then mid-match, Gunther comes out, distracts Sami off his game. It allows Bronson to capitalize and then hit the tsunami for the win. So, sobrang ganda lang how it all came together. And I'm not exactly sure pa rin ano yung end game with Chad Gable being involved in all of this, but it's very clear that this Sami Zayn is very different from last year's Sami Zayn, where even though it's the same situation, underdog siya going after a championship, ito, he's all on his own. He's not riding a wave of momentum, more of lucky break siya, for him to have won that gauntlet match and be in this position. So he's really trying to steel his nerve and convince himself, make himself believe that he can actually defeat Gunther. And I think this is such a great A story, which has led me to a point where I actually don't care who wins between Sami and Gunther, because either way, I think they're telling a good story here.
I just want to say that for a match that was put quickly 2 weeks ago, they were able to tell a really good story here for the short amount of time that they have since the match was made official. So I'm looking forward to this, actually. I know weeks ago there were complaints that it should have been Chad Gable, but know, now 2 weeks later, then you know, Chad is he's still a part of the story, but it's now being told better because it's Sami Zayn, and we all know Sami Zayn really works better as, you know, the lovable underdog.
So to that point, I wanted to ask. So you're Triple H. You were in charge of the developmental territory over the past decade, diba? And one by one, you were building up all these guys. Kasi, syempre, unti-unti silang kinukuha. The process is you build them up, Vince plucks them from developmental, and then they book them on, he books them on Raw or SmackDown, and doesn't always do a good job of booking them the way you did in NXT. Then fast forward to now, you are in charge of the main roster, and then all the guys you built up one by one are now all together on the main roster. And then now you have to find a way to live up, to have them all live up to the booking you made when they were all, you know, just going at it one by one. Kasi ngayon, sabay-sabay na sila. So now you got Chad Gable, you got Sami Zayn, Bronson Reed, then you got Ricochet, then you got Shinsuke Nakamura, then you got Finn Balor, and then everyone is now here. All your toys are now here. Now your projects are here. And not everyone can get the push that you gave them in NXT when, you know, it was their time to get pushed. So what do you do? How do you also manage the expectations of the fans who are also used to seeing them get their pushes, you know, their respective pushes in their respective times down in NXT? So that's the tough question. And I think a lot of the fandom still hasn't grappled to answer yet. And I also am not, you know, not comfortable with how, you know, I have to manage my own expectations, like to see Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa not being pushed to the moon right away. stuff like that. Shinsuke Nakamura still not getting his due despite being a top guy in NXT. So I enjoy yung, you know, little fragments of time, little fragments of booking, airtime that guys like Bronson Reed get. And also have to manage my own feelings about Chad Gable and Sami Zayn. Because, you know, both guys are top guy material. And Triple H doing right by Sami is him, you know, going back to all those years, back in 2015, 2014, and really following through with whatever he promised Sami Zayn. So, you know, hirap dito eh, diba? You know, hirap sa mga sa sistema ng WWE ngayon. So,
I mean, it's not just WWE. I think AEW has the same problem with how deep and stacked their roster is.
No, pero si WWE kasi, there are two different places. And, you know, a lot of people saw the guys on the main roster now succeed in a big way down in NXT. And then now, they're not necessarily succeeding in a big way on Raw and SmackDown, because not everyone gets to have that, that bit of spotlight that you get on NXT when somebody moves and leaves, goes up to the main roster, diba? So I'm glad that Triple H is still able to give precious airtime to guys like Bronson Reed for them to do what they do, and showcase why they were plucked from New Japan, diba? And stuff like that.
I mean, I think if you consider how things were and how things are right now, the new Vince regime and the current Triple H era, makita niyo naman yung difference eh, with regards to how people are being pushed, diba? That's not to say that they shouldn't push everybody to the moon here, but I think if you push everybody to the moon, then nobody gets a push.
Yep.
Kasi manenegate din yung lahat eh. Exactly. Dadating tayo sa point na manenegate yan lahat. Right? So I think the gradual pushing is something that we need to just live with and understand that the reason umaangat yung ibang tao over other people is just that's just the nature of the beast right now. Diba? Kailangan pag-aangat ka, may iwan. Diba? Kaya ka umaangat eh. Diba? And then at the end of the day, lahat yan naangat eventually. Diba? To your level, to whatever level they aspire to be in. Diba? That's not to say that we shouldn't give guys like Shinsuke Nakamura their due. Of course, he deserves his due. His Shinsuke Nakamura, umalis siya ng New Japan. because he thought WWE had greener pastures, diba? That's not to say you don't give guys like Bronson Reed their push, kasi nga, he left New Japan as well because he thought he would get a better shake sa WWE. But what I'm trying to say is, yung mga guys like Sami Zayn, like your Finn Balor, like everybody who's been with the company for the longest time, getting all the push in the world, I think it's also deserved, and I think it's also warranted, especially for the stories that they are being told, that they are a part of. Sami Zayn, especially with this new character, this new wrinkle that he has in his character and his belief in himself, can actually open the door for other things for him. Diba? With Bronson Reed, you're kind of going to have to start from scratch there. But with Sami Zayn, who's much further along, I can see why they're trying to do this with him.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Then when we come back, we'll take a trip to TJPW for a surprise appearance. Dito sa Picks of the Week natin as well as AEW Collision. But first, let's hear from our other podcasts right here on the Pod Network.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Magandang araw para sa mga mas nakaka-lurky na storya.
Mas masayang kwentuhan.
Mas nakaka-utot sa kaligayahan na chismisan.
Mga kaabang-abang na storya.
Aba, tutok na lagi sa Tambalan Podcast!
And we're back, so let's go to Ro, who'll take us for a quick trip to TJPW.
Yeah, yesterday, TJPW, Tokyo Joshi Pro, had their Grand Princess show. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's one of their biggest shows of the year. Tapos, I think it's because, I'm not sure if it's because it's WrestleMania season, but it is a pretty big show. Guys like Minoru Suzuki and our new friend Chris Brooks were booked on it. See, WWP admin Reddit Regal live streamed the show on Discord because a patron kind of asked for it and he came through. So that's one of the perks of being a patron and signing up to our Patreon program. So I watched because Maki Ito versus Minoru Suzuki 2 was happening. And then Chris Brooks and Tita Emi Sakura were booked versus the Magical Sugar Rabbits. So those were fun matches. But I saw this main event and I wanted to watch it because it involved Miyu Yamashita, who was defending her Princess of Princess Championship. That's the top championship in their company, versus Mio Watanabe. So it was pretty good. I understand that this is going to be a hard match to find because it's not readily available in our less than legal platforms. So if you're able to catch this in Wrestle Universe, if you have a Wrestle Universe account to watch Noah, DDT, and other promotions, please go catch this. So Yamashita is a hell of a striker. She's a really, really great striker, and I think one of the best strikers in the Joshi scene post Asuka's graduation, if you will, to WWE. So it was a fun, hard-hitting match in the style of wrestling that I enjoy watching. I enjoy watching a lot of strikes, and they wrestle around that. And Joshi wrestling is also pretty fun to watch. I say it's one of the most active styles of wrestling in the world because, they're smaller, so they have to move more. They have to show motion a lot more. And for this one, Yamashita really took it to Watanabe. And I don't know much about her, I'll be honest, but from the cathartic reactions that people had after she won the championship, parang deserve niya manalo. So it might have been like a passing of the torch. This is, again, open to fact-checking. But for those who want to see what Joshi Wrestling is all about, if you can find this match, this was pretty good. And, you know, it's also one of those things that isn't also one of those matches that requires you to suspend your disbelief too much, if you catch my drift. So this one plays out like a fight, and then the other matches on the card, like Minoru Suzuki versus Maki Ito, are also must-watch matches, because yeah, they kind of deviate a little bit from the Joshi formula. So yeah.
Have you guys seen this one? Because admittedly, I haven't.
That's okay. I understand if you guys haven't seen it.
I have not.
It's hard to watch. It's hard to find. We can move along.
Yeah. All right. Let's close things out with Rowan's pick of the week, which is from AEW Collision. It was the COPE Open. So it's the first that involves defending the TNT Championship. And who should come out but one Matt Cardona, the king of the deathmatch, the indie god. So sabi ni Rowan, he believes this is Edge's best run since he came out of retirement 4 years ago, because he gets to do things he's never done, and he gets to face people he's never faced or he hasn't faced, like Minoru Suzuki and then Dante Martin, Daniel Garcia, and now his former Edgehead, Matt Cardona, who is back after 4 years. Right? He made his debut on Collision. So ang daming history doon, which as an Edgehead, I appreciated that they incorporated it in commentary and that they were able to include it as well in the reintroduction of Matt Cardona to the AEW audience. Sabi ni Rowan, the match was very entertaining and he liked how he could root for either Cope or Cardona kasi favorite niya silang dalawa. And sabi ni Rowan, predictable because he knew Cope would retain the TNT Championship, but he still wanted Cardona to win and collect another belt, even though it would be inevitable na matatalo siya kay Adam Copeland. And even though Cardona lost, he and Adam Copeland put up a great match. And his favorite was when Cardona stole the Impaler DDT and then later on tried to do the spear, pero naunahan lang siya ni Cope. And then the post-match segment where Malakai Black showed up, sabi ni Rowan, that was a cool tease. And now he is hyped for the eventual showdown between Malakai Black and Adam Copeland.
This should have been the main event of Collision, honestly. I'm sorry. I watched Collision last night, and this was the best part of the show, the opening match. I love the surprise of Matt Cardona. I mean, it's been a while since we saw him on an AEW show. And it was a great match. It was a great opener. I love how you can see in Adam's face, he was smiling in the beginning of the match. Like, he was really happy to face one of his former, former mentees in Matt Cardona. And it was a great back and forth. It was a classic mentor versus student type of match. And at the end, the experience of Adam Copeland won out at the end. So it was a cool cool match. I don't know if this is going to lead to Cardona signing with AEW, but this is a good one-off. If this is indeed a one-off. And also, also looking forward to House of Black versus Cope. I mean, it's time to then Cope move away from the Christian Cage universe.
And Emil, he's not signing with the AEW because he also made his comeback. He also made his comeback to TNA. Part of the decision with Steph Nylander becoming the new number one contender for the Knockouts Championship. But neither here nor there. I feel like, are you done, Emil? Sorry, were you?
For a one-off, he did really great for a one-off.
So yes, for myself, I feel like this was also very good. I also appreciated the acknowledgement of their shared history with one another. Ganda din on. It also just spoke volumes to how much Matt Cardona improved since his time as an Edgehead, or even since his time in the WWE. Diba? The fact that he's able to keep up with somebody like Adam Copeland, yung experience na pareho, dun lumalabas sa match na to. And I like how they actually played this match out like a main event. Tama ka nga, Emil. This was supposed to be the main event, but I mean, I get how AEW runs things with two main events opening and closing the show. Diba? So I like that. I don't necessarily know how to feel about House of Black and the ROH World Championship storylines being involved in the post-match segment. Alam ko Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe are still going to have to go at it for the ROH Championship. So medyo dun pa lang sa part niya, medyo blurry na siya sa akin. But the House of Black being there, na umaaligin, coming for Cope and his championship. I would love to see Adam Copeland run through all of them, to be honest. Like Copeland versus Brody King, Copeland versus Buddy Murphy, diba? And Copeland versus Malakai Black, put those things out. Would be a nice little run for Adam Copeland.
Yeah, I'm going to agree that it was a pretty fine match. Edge, Adam Copeland still knows how to, you know, write these things. He is still the genius. He proves that he's still the genius of wrestling matches. A lot of people won't give him his due because, you know, something, something, soft spear, whatever. But the way his matches ride out, you can tell how he's able to easily take people for a ride. So, funny thing I wanted to mention was that Adam Copeland versus Matt Cardona is a pretty non-AEW match. Like, it's the most non-AEW matches, non-AEW style matches that you can do in AEW. And people ate it up. And I want to know how people, or what people thought of this matchup. I wasn't there to check the wrestling Twitterverse yesterday when it happened. But I want to know what they thought of it, because the biggest reason why this match worked was because of the storytelling. Because there is story, there is a backstory, there is history between these two guys. And Ian Riccaboni himself mentioned the story, the very, very obvious story. If you've been a wrestling fan since from the past 15 years, you would know that, as they mentioned, Matt Cardona was one of Adam Copeland's understudies from back in the day. And despite it being a WWE story, it is what it is. It's part of their history. And that proves, and I hope it proves, to the AEW fan base na a lot of times, kailangan mo ng kwento, and you do need a good story here. And TK kind of lucked into this one because yun nga, may built-in backstory na sa nang dalawa. So...
AEW fans, like, I think there are just some corners of the wrestling fandom not just AEW fans. There are people who say no, and they work great lang pare, or you know, like I don't care about story.
Sure, spot sure. Fest, bro. Sure.
it's these people na gusto kong, you know, I want them to see the light. Nah, the story is more important at the end of the day.
Yep.
Not just AEW fans, because hindi naman lahat ng AEW fans din ganun.
Yeah, pero alam mo yun, I don't know. I have a feeling that this little nuance will be greatly lost on them because, syempre, they don't want to acknowledge the fact that you do need to tell a story to sell a match, diba? Mm-hmm. Sometimes selling the match on its theoretical work rate on paper is fine. Definitely, yes, that works. But if there is a reason to care, and we have a reason, a built-in reason to care that we didn't even need to think about, because we knew what the relationship between these two guys were, it's going to be so much better. And it was so much better. London, Ontario was so much better off for this.
You know who was the luckiest guy in that house?
Oh.
Our friend Ken Warren, who was sitting
ringside. Oh, wow. He was... Hindi pa show. Hanapin natin siya. Hanapin natin siya.
He actually did us a solid and took screenshots himself. He posted it on his Ken Warren.
Hindi ko
nakita. All right. I'll look that up.
Shout out to the good brother Ken Warren for being there ringside for that episode of Collision. And sana all my partner pero, who will get you those ringside tickets.
I mean, London, Ontario would have been just fine because Edge was coming. Adam Copeland was coming. And, you know, that is his territory.
Yep.
No need it's to sell Copeland any further.
Country.
Pero ito na nga, that was what sold it. The story was what sold it. And I really, really hope that people who tuned in to Collision yesterday really thought about this or understood this. But, you know, I don't have high hopes, but I hope they still do.
Mm-hmm. All right, so there, those are our picks of the week. If you want to be part of the conversation, as always, you know where to find us. It is at Wrestling2XPod on TikTok and on Twitter. Individually, it is at Gino Supersize, at Roiswar, at EML_Meister, at Monday Night Rowan, and at _StanC. kita-kita tayo bukas for our Wrestling Podcast live stream. It's the Go Home Pod where we predict WrestleMania 40 before the show of shows this coming weekend. And in case you're looking for a place to watch it, you know where to find us. It is on Disney Plus for WrestleMania 40. But if you don't want to watch it on Disney Plus at home by yourself, di siyempre, may WrestleMania viewing party tayo that's happening at Skinny Mike's BGC and at Hobby Stadium. As we begin to wind down here, thank you so much to Babyface producer Jasper and all the other producers at the Pod Network for all of the work that they do behind the scenes. And we're going to catch you on the live stream. So on behalf of Chino Liao, Emil Nate, and Ro Moran, my name is Stan C, ending another episode of the Wrestling Podcast. Stay safe, stay healthy, and don't be a dick. Wrestling Podcast, out. Later, outcasts.
Peace.
The opinions of podcast creators, hosts, and guests are not necessarily reflective of the official stance of the Pod Network Entertainment, its hosts, or other network programs. The content created by the people behind the podcast is personal and not meant to harm any religion, ethnicity, group, organization, company, or individual.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.